Welcome to Christmas at City First. I want to welcome each and every person here on behalf of Jen and myself. I want to say a warm Merry Christmas. I personally love Christmas. I love this time of year. I actually wish it was a little bit longer, to be honest with you. How many are you with me? You wish Christmas would stick around a little longer? You know, I want to say first and foremost, I love Christmas because it is a celebration of a historical event. It is the birth of our Savior, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's why I love it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we can have a relationship with our Creator. But I also love Christmas because it reminds us of God's peace, his love, his joy, and his hope, even in a world that seems sometimes hopelessly broken and spinning out of control. We can have these attributes of God as a part of our personal lives because God gives them to us. We could have peace, we could have joy, we could have happiness and love in these things. But on top of that, I love gift giving. I love the Christmas music, even the Mariah Carey kind of Christmas music for those of you that are Mariah Carey fans, all right? And also, I love Christmas lights. There's just something beautiful about putting up a Christmas tree in the corner of your living room, turning out all the other lights are off, and you only turn the Christmas tree on. And the warmth and the glow, that vibe is just special. I love it, I love it, I love it. And really, if you think about it, that idea of a Christmas tree lighting up the bright room and such like that, that's symbolic of Christmas in many ways. You know, Jesus said that he said, I am the light of the world. And then he was the light of the world in the sense that he lit up the darkness of the world around him. And it gives us the ability, even in 2024, to be able to see life a little bit clearer. In fact, light, gives us the ability to see. In fact, Jen and I were on a trip years and years ago, and one thing that I've discovered, the older I got, now those of you that are young, you're not gonna know this yet, but you will. The older I got, the more I discovered that it mattered what kind of pillow I slept on. How many of you are with me on that? You know what I mean? It matters, right? And we were on this trip and it was not a good pillow, not at all. And I woke up the next morning and I had this like crick in my neck and I couldn't turn my neck. And I was walking around for like 2 days like Frankenstein. In fact, Jen, my lovely wife, was making fun of me. She was going, hey, who am I? Who am I? You know, that kind of stuff. And so at night I decided I was gonna go to bed early. I mean, I was kind of miserable. I couldn't like turn my neck and stuff. And so I went to bed early and I told Jen, I go, hey, if it's all right, I'm gonna shut the lights off. And she was still returning emails on her laptop and we're sharing this hotel room. And so she's over in the corner in the glow of the laptop. After a while, she put her laptop away and I'm half asleep and I can kind of hear her shuffling through the dark room, trying to make her way to the bathroom to go brush her teeth. And I hear her kind of in there and she's fumbling around and stuff like that. Pretty soon, I hear her electronic toothbrush and about 10 seconds after that started, all of a sudden I hear her go, oh my gosh, and stuff. And there's like things flying all over. It sounds like she's wrestling a badger in the bathroom or something. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And she turned on the light and by mistake, instead of putting toothpaste on her toothbrush, she put Icy Hot on her toothbrush, all right? In fact, I took a picture of it right there. It's pretty amazing. So for the next 2 days, I was like, hey, who am I? What's the moral of this story? You make better decisions when you can see, right? That's true. And sometimes in life, it's hard to see. It really is. You don't see what's coming around the corner. You don't see things that maybe you were trying to avoid. Sometimes you don't see the brokenness or the sickness or the pain or the violence or the fear that this world can have and can create darkness. In fact, the Bible even says this in Isaiah 60 about the world, describing the world. It says, the whole earth is wrapped in darkness and all people sunk in deep darkness. What that's really saying is because of sin entering the world, because of the whole Adam and Eve story, guess what? This world is hopelessly broken, and sometimes it feels pretty dark. In fact, there's even probably been dark times or moments in 2024 for many of us here. But at Christmas, the original Christmas, Jesus came and he said, I am the light of the world. So when he came, he brought light to this dark world. In fact, the Bible even says that there was a bright star that pierced the midnight sky and shone where the baby Jesus was. And in 2024, I'll say this, that God still pierces the darkness by giving us his son to bring light into the dark places of our lives and the experiences that we have that sometimes can be like midnight, dark, can't see, but Jesus helps bring light. If you think about it, love is like a light. And love and light have a lot in common. And you know, might know this, but there's different types of light and there's different expressions of love. Let me explain, all right? First of all, light can be explosive. It can be bright. It can be exciting, like fireworks, like the 4th of July. As you sit under the dark sky and you watch the fireworks, it creates excitement. And in the same way, love can bring excitement to your heart and bring celebration to your soul. Light can also be calming, kind of like that lamp next to your favorite chair that you love to read in. It's nice and relaxing. Well, love can also bring comfort and peace. Maybe light can be like a flashlight. You're in the forest, you can't see where you're going, and it will guide the way. And in the same way, love can guide the way through life. And it can be an adventure. Light can be like a warming campfire. And in the same way, love can bring warmth to your heart and can console you. Also, light can be a little obnoxious sometimes, like when your mom whips open the curtains on a Saturday morning when you wanted to sleep in, right? And in the same way, love can wake you up and get you motivated. Light can guide, like a lighthouse can guide a boat to safety. And in the same way, love can guide you through rough waters. Light can be like fireflies in the backyard. And love can be like that, bring you back to simpler times when life wasn't so crazy, busy, hectic. Love can bring simplicity to your life. Light can be like a sunset, bringing the end to a day, and love can give you rest. Light can be like a sunrise, calling you to a new day, and in the same way, love can give you a new beginning and forgiveness. Light can be like a nightlight, guiding you down a dark corridor, and love can bring illumination to pathways and corridors you've never gone down before. And lastly, around this time of the year, I'd be remiss to not say that light is like a Christmas tree, and it reminds us of God's unconditional love for us. In fact, I want you to do this. Next time you look at a Christmas tree, I want you to remember that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what you feel, God loves you and he is with you no matter what. In fact, the Bible term or Christmas name for Jesus is Emmanuel. It means God is with us. You know, it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says about Jesus, in him, Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. In other words, Jesus was coming, and it would be different. This dark world would be different after that. Because when Jesus comes and his light comes, guess what? He brings with comfort and peace, adventure sometimes, but always support, guidance, simplicity, he brings rest, he brings new beginnings, and he brings forgiveness. And on that night that we now call Christmas, Guess what? Jesus was born. He wasn't born at 9 a.m. or 3 p.m. He wasn't born in the day. I think it's interesting. He was born at night. Some theologians believe he was born at around midnight, the darkest time of the night. And that tells me that when we go through some of the darkest seasons of our life, that's when Jesus shows up. He shows up with power. He shows up with comfort. His presence is there. Even when we can't figure out what's going on and we're feeling for the edges and stumbling our way through life. I love what Ann B. Jones says about Christmas. She wrote this, and I think it resonates with maybe what some of us are going through. She said, "I almost always come limping into Advent." What does that mean? Usually it's a long year. 2024 for some of us has been a long year. And you come into December and you kind of come in with a limp. And she says this, desperate for light, but almost too tired to look for it. How many of you, by upraised hand, would say that 2024 has been a somewhat tiring year for you? You know? Yeah, hands are up, right? And then she said, "I remember the light came looking for me," and that's the whole point. In other words, yeah, you can give that a round of applause if you want. In other words, we come into December and it's like, okay, batten down the hatches. It's time for Christmas. Here's your Christmas list. Let's go shopping, Amazon, whatever, you know. And we start getting into this. We come in tired sometimes. We got to remember this, that in the middle of what we now have made Christmas to become, it all was on a silent night and it was a holy night. And the Savior of the world came to bring light to the darkness. And when we come limping into December, we have to remember that Jesus actually pursued us. The God of the universe did not stay safe in heaven and look down on this broken earth that was broken by our sin. And he did not just shrug his shoulders and go, "Oh, well," but instead he sent Jesus, his son, to the rescue, to rescue us from the darkness that was created by our wrong choices. In other words, he came to us. Let me personalize it. He came for you. He created you. You are not a mistake. You are not a product of billions of years of pond scum that got energized and morphed into various species. You are a creation from the Almighty God. He knows everything about you, and he loves you with an unconditional love. And you can give that a huge round of applause. But sometimes we're tired. Sometimes life makes us feel weak. Sometimes we're striving to find happiness and fulfillment because we're living our life, running it our own way. In fact, it says in the book of Romans, a book in the New Testament, it says creation is frustrated. I don't know about you, but lately, in the last like 5 years especially, man, there's a lot of frustration, it feels like. And it seems like creation is frustrated. Well, why? Why are people frustrated? Why is creation frustrated? Why would the Bible even say that? Well, in another part of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, Old Testament, it says this. It says, the trouble is that your sins have cut you off from God. In other words, our wrong choices, our imperfection separates us from a perfect God. You know, none of us are perfect. And if someone in here thinks they're perfect, that points out the imperfection. Can I get an amen, right? So here's the thing, all of us screw up. All of us do not do it right. All of us have things that we feel ashamed of, choices we made that we would take back, right? And it's disconnected us from a perfect God. But God did not leave us in a state of disconnectedness. He decided to fix that by sending Jesus, the light of the world, to be born in a manger, but to grow up someday to walk to a cross. Now we celebrate Easter, and what is that? Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. On Easter Sunday, he's resurrected. And what is the purpose of all this? Why would Jesus die on a cross? Here's the reason why. Every wrong has to be righted. Every wrong has to have a consequence. And unfortunately, our wrongs have grave consequence. And there's no way that we could pay the tab, you could say, for all the wrong things we've done. And God knew that. And this is the thing. So many times, God is depicted as this mean old man with a white beard that's 1,000 miles in the sky in heaven somewhere, sitting on a golden throne. But here's the thing. He is not an angry God. He's a God that loves us so much that he didn't want us to be disconnected because of our wrong choices. He didn't want to be separated from his creation. So he sent his son to be born in a manger, to someday walk to a cross so that you and I could have a relationship restored with him. And that someday we could be with him in heaven. And he, in the meantime, will be with us here on earth. You see, here's the thing. God loves us so much, John 3:16, that he gave his only son so that we can have a relationship with him. So the question is, this Christmas season, is will you receive the light of his love? Will you embrace that? Will Christmas be more than just trees and presents and lights, which are all fantastic? But it's more than that. It's about a God who extends an invitation, a God who extends a gift, and that gift is forgiveness and relationship and eternal life. Or, like many in culture, do we just kind of blow that off and think this whole thing is a fairy tale? And instead, try to pursue happiness and fulfillment and significance by running our own lives. But here's the problem with that, and I can talk from personal experience because I wasn't always a pastor. When you do that, you always are searching, and you're never all the way quite finding. And my hope is that all of us this Christmas season say, I want to choose and embrace the real reason for the season, and that is to embrace a personal relationship with Jesus, the one who came to save us and rescue us. Jesus said it this way. Let me quote him. This is out of the Message version. It says, he said, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? See, some of us, we had experience with religion. Religion is man-made. Relationship with God, that's God-made. He doesn't want us to just go through the rituals. He doesn't want us to just do certain things because there's a list of rules. No, no, no. He wants a relationship with us. And so Jesus says, are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. There's a song called Into the Light. And I think the words and the lyrics resonate with a lot of us in 2024. All who are weary, all who are weak, all those who come with no words left to speak, come let the sun wash the dust from your feet, come into the light. All who are mourning, all who have pain, all those who come who are burdened with shame, come let the sun take the weight of your chains, come into the light. Ours is the God of the lost and the broken. His is the home with the doors flung wide open. Ours is the Savior who welcomes us in. Come into the light. What that song is really saying is this: no matter who you are, no matter your family of origin, whether you've ever stepped foot in a church or maybe this is your first time, no matter what you've done or what you haven't done, no matter what you're going through, Jesus loves you so much that he came as a humble servant, born in a manger, walked to a cross so that we can have a relationship with God. And I want to share with you a story, a life-changing story. Because when you allow Jesus to become the leader and the forgiver of your life, he not only forgives us, but he starts to change us. And this is a story of a beautiful family within City First that they decided to walk into the light of God's love and forgiveness, and Jesus changed everything. This is the Gillen Waters. Let's watch their story.
I was in a very dark place. I was in and out of rehab, in and out of the court system. I was a father of two daughters. We were bouncing from house to house. We were having a hard time paying the electric bill, the gas bill, putting food on the table because all of the money I was spending on drugs. So when I first came to City First Church, I was struggling with a very nasty drug addiction that I could not stay clean for more than 2 days at a time. I really had no hope. A lady promised to buy a car for me if I met her at church. Took her up on the offer. As soon as the music was playing, it just felt like every lyric had to do with saving me. And I felt the whole time, the whole hour, the whole message was designed for me. I started beginning a relationship with Jesus. I started talking to him every day. I have never relapsed one time since coming to City First that first time. Anyone that has ever known me would tell you that is a giant miracle, because nothing in my life helped me get sober until I came to City First and just started stringing weeks and weeks of coming back here. Stopped drinking, smoking cigarettes, cleaned up our news feed, and we're just trying to live as closely to we could like Jesus. Everything was going really well. We had our dream house, and on October 19th, our house caught on fire. Everyone around me was telling me, we're just so happy that, you know, you guys are safe. Just as I watch my roof of my house collapse and our first level fall into the basement, really, I prayed for God's strength to help me. The following day, we woke up early and we went inside the house, or what was left of it. And what we did find, we did not find much, but we did find my Bible. And it's, as you can see, it's as white as snow. It was covered in ash, but pretty crazy to think that this made it through when it's just paper and every other thing in the house was destroyed.
We came to church the next morning and they played Gratitude, and I just remember like there was like nothing else that could have articulated exactly how I felt. I have never felt so loved by God, which sounds crazy, but it's so true. Jesus has impacted our family and our marriage because at every turn, you have something to reference or to turn to. And it's like the worst possible thing that you could imagine can happen, but like he still got you.
Jesus, for me, is my savior. Without him, I would be dead or in jail. So he literally saved my life.
Come into the light, and you will find. find a Savior, gentle and lowly, waiting on the other side. He will meet you gladly, over and over, with loving kindness in His eyes, coming to the light. Have you been times? Have you started to believe the lie? Then it is safer for you to hide. Come into the light, come into the light, and you will find a Savior, gentle.
Their Bible, the only thing that survived the fire. And as I hold this, I can't help but think that this really is a great metaphor of what God does with us, is that we go through dark times, some of us go through the fire, and yet He preserves us, that He will be with us. One of the things that we need to understand is that God never promises in this life that there won't be confusing times, difficult times, times of struggle, times of pain, times where you sometimes throw your hands up in the air and go, I don't understand what's going on. Those things are gonna happen. But this is what He does promise us. He promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He is with us and will get us through the fire. He'll get us through the dark times. Why? Because He's the light of the world. He'll give us strength. He'll give us peace beyond understanding. He'll give us the ability to have strength beyond our own strength. And most importantly, He gives us forgiveness so that we are now God's children and that someday we'll have heaven as our home, where all of the brokenness will cease and we will be able to spend eternity with Him. So my question tonight is this, is that if anybody here would like to take Jesus up on the offer of eternal life, the offer of forgiveness, because if you come into the light, you will find a Savior, like that song says, and He will change you and He'll forgive you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect by any stretch. It doesn't mean that you're going to do it all right all the time. But this is what it does mean. He is with you every single step in the way. And little by little by little, he changes you. I'm a testimony of that. And literally at City First, there's thousands of people that have that testimony. So my question is tonight, would anybody like to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of their life? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, yeah, Jer, I'd like to do that. Now with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to just say this real quickly. This decision has nothing to do with church membership. It has nothing to do with denominations. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. This is purely understanding that God loves you and that you want him to forgive you. You want him to become the leader of your life. And if that is what you want, you say, that's me. I want Jesus to become my Lord and Savior, leader and the forgiver of my life. Just go ahead, no one looking, just slip your hand up and put it right back down before God. He'll see you. Yes, hands are up everywhere. Just put them up right back down. I'll give you a second. If you're just like, yeah, that's me. I can't even see. The lights are bright, so trust me. I can't see everybody, but God sees. Let's go ahead. And if you raise your hand, or if you didn't, but you're like, man, I want to do this, then let's just all say this prayer together. We're all say it together, all right? And realize God is listening to your voice specifically because he created you and he loves you. So can we all repeat this prayer after me? You ready? Here we go. Jesus, I come to you this Christmas Eve and I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sin. I believe that you died for me. I want to live for you. Thank you for loving me with unconditional love. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that for everybody that prayed that prayer?
You prayed that prayer, man. We would love to just kind of walk with you on that journey. And a couple of things. First of all, we'd love to put a resource in your hand called New Beginnings. You can scan the QR code that's on the screen to get a digital copy of that. Or on your way out, stop by one of those Next Step booths and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And you'll put that in your hand as just our way of saying we're with you in this. And then most importantly, okay, keep coming back to church.
Yeah.
Like you heard Shane say, we just kept coming back. Because you are not meant to walk this relationship with Jesus alone. And we'd love to have you be a part of City First Church.
And remember, this coming weekend, we have no in-person services, but that doesn't mean we don't have church. We have church online, so you can watch church in your pajamas with your family, all right? And then the weekend after that, January 5th, come back. We got a brand new series, and it's a great way to start 2025. On behalf of Jen and myself and all City First, have a very Merry Christmas.
Christmas,
God
everybody.
Bless. All right, we'll see ya.